We're going to be in Luke chapter number 12 tonight, so if you'd turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter number 12. And this passage of Scripture always kind of, whenever we get to this time of year, I always think about this this interaction that Jesus had in this parable that he tells. This is my favorite time of year. I do like the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, and just because of all the decorations, the spirit in the air, the hustle and bustle. But Jesus gives us a warning about not becoming too preoccupied with things of this world. And he has a story here that he tells, a parable. And so I want to talk about that tonight. So Luke chapter number 12, and I'm going to begin reading here in verse number 13, and we'll read down through verse number 21, okay? Luke chapter number 12, verse number 13, the Bible says, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thou sow shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight to hold fast to the truth contained within your word, even if it's completely counter to what we see in the world and the culture that we live in, the society that we place importance on things. Lord, help us to return to your word and believe your truth above all that we see with our eyes. Help us walk with faith. Help us tonight as we open your word. Lord, once again, we pray for those that are traveling. Watch over, protect them, bring them back safely. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Being content is totally counter to what we experience here in America. If you're an American, and all of us are, and you're alive here tonight in 2021, you would be the exception to the rule if there wasn't some bit of covetousness or materialism inside of our hearts. It would be quite a feat to be born in America, to experience all that we experience in America, to be bombarded by marketing, by things, by material possessions that promise us over and over again that this is the thing that you really need to make you complete. I know that you were told that the last car you bought was the car that was going to make you happy, but this is the one this time that's really going to make you happy. I know that the house you have in is fine, but the next house is the one that's really going to check all the boxes, and it's finally going to satisfy that part of your soul that just always feels like it needs more. That it just can keep taking in more and more and more, and it can never be filled. But this time, the commercial tells us this is what you really need to make you completely content in your life. And we are raised around that. We live around that. Our entire culture and society is geared around being a consumer and buying more. And everyone's concerned about the economy whenever the economy goes down, because we need people to go out and spend money and buy things and get more possessions. And I dare say that maybe over half of us in this room tonight have so much stuff that we have a storage locker somewhere that we keep more of our stuff in that we can't even keep in our houses because we have so much stuff. And that is an indication of two things. First of all, we are a blessed people. We're going to read through a story tonight about a rich man, and I want to make sure that we all understand that story is talking about you and me. We are the most wealthy people that have ever lived in the history of the world. No country has ever been more prosperous than us. And in the timeline of our country, In 2021, we are at our most prosperous that we have ever been. Even with all the debt that we have, and even with all the cronyism and the wasteful spending by our government, we are at the peak, the zenith of prosperity. When you look at the entire history of all the known world and all the people that ever lived, you and me are at the top. We have so much wealth. We have so much wealth compared to historically what people have had. I mean, it hasn't been that long ago, a few hundred years, whenever you had to wake up every day and figure out, how am I going to feed my kids today? We're not that far away from that point in time in history. And yet, that's not usually the biggest concern that most of you and I have in America today. Our poorest people don't die from starvation. We die from heart disease because we have so much food. That's how blessed that we are. We are blessed by God abundantly. And there's nothing wrong with wealth. Let's not mistake that. Tonight, as we go through the story, there's nothing wrong with wealth. Wealth is a gift from God. This device that we all have in our pockets or our purses, this is a picture. This is wealth. If we could get in a time machine and go back and we could visit Solomon, or we could visit some other very wealthy person that lived throughout the history of time, with just this cell phone, we could have a competition. Let's say I could go back in time and I could meet George Washington. And he and I were to have a competition about how much work we could get done. With my cell phone, I could beat George Washington. Because George Washington at some point is going to run out of servants. But I have so many apps on my phone, I can keep doing things. I can keep getting recipes. I can get directions. I can buy things. I can transfer things. I can do financial things. I can do business things. The fact that we have this in our, this is an enormous amount of wealth that you and I have in our, and it's not, I'm not talking about the value of the phone, I'm talking about what the phone can do. It's wealth. And there's nothing wrong with wealth, but we have to make sure we're using the wealth the right way. So there's two things that we can learn from being an American in 2021. First of all, we are greatly blessed of God. And I think it's in spite of us, not because of us. Our country is far from what it needs to be. We no longer glorify God the way that we did in our founding. But the second thing it tells us is that we have bought the lie that our life will be better with things. We've bought that lie, and we're all guilty of that. I would be a little skeptical if someone came up tonight and said, "I don't struggle with materialism being an American in 2021." I'd be skeptical of that. I think it's something that we all have to fight, and we have to battle, and we have to be, we have to ask God to search our hearts, and certainly I'm no exception to that. But tonight we see this story where a man comes to Jesus, and my favorite part of this whole portion of Scripture is whenever this man comes to Jesus. Now, it was very common in those days, if you had a dispute, you would go to a rabbi, you would go to the master, and you would say, "Hey, solve this dispute between me and some other person." And this man comes to Jesus in verse number 13, and he says, "Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." And my favorite part of this whole story is Jesus' response to him. Now, if anyone had the right to be a judge over men, it would be Jesus Christ. If anyone had the position, the authority, the knowledge, the wisdom to be able to correctly divide and solve this dispute, it was Jesus. But what was Jesus' response? He said, "Man, who hath made me a judge or a divider over you?" And I love that for two reasons. The first reason I love it is because even Jesus didn't get caught up in all the nonsense that people try and get us involved with. Jesus, I guess what I'm saying is, how many of us would be wise enough if someone came to us and said, "Hey, I really need your opinion. I need your help. Could you help solve this for me?" How many of us would be wise enough to say, maybe we wouldn't say it like this, but our response should be most of the time, that's not my monkey, and this isn't my circus. That's not my problem. That's somebody else's monkey, and you don't bring me your monkey, right? Jesus, of a person that, of all men that have ever lived, had the right to speak to this, said, "That I'm not getting involved with that." And man, what a good lesson for you and me, that we don't need to be getting involved in everyone else's lives. I got enough of my own business to take care of. I don't need any of your business. Right, I have enough going on in my own life that I don't need to be trying to figure out how do you fix your life. You know what? We should pray for people. We should direct people to the truth of the Word of God. But I don't need to get sucked into every single little situation that comes across my way. And Jesus had a lot of wisdom by saying, "That's not for me to get involved with." The second thing I love about this is Jesus knew that the real heart of the problem was covetousness. You see, both those brothers were wrong. And what Jesus didn't need to do was tell one brother to do something to be fair or whatever. Jesus knew the real problem was they needed a new heart. That was the real issue that was going on here. These men, their heart needed to change. And it wasn't a matter of just Jesus being able to say, this is what's wrong, this is how you fix it. Divide the inheritance, however, whatever percentage it might be. The real answer was, you need to change your heart. And that's the lesson for us tonight as well. Our heart needs to be changed. We need a new heart. And Jesus says here in verse number 15, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And yet so many of us, that's the way that we live our life. Our life is all about getting the next big thing, getting the next whatever it might be. And even at Christmas time, whenever it's a full court press by all the companies and businesses trying to get you to spend your money with them, we can be overwhelmed by this lie that things will fill the void in my heart, and they never will. There's nothing you'll ever be able to buy with money that will ever satisfy your soul. Only Jesus Christ can do that. And so now he gives us a parable. He gives us a story, an illustration. And tonight, I want to point out four big mistakes that this wealthy, rich man made whenever he was confronted with an abundance of wealth, an abundance of possessions, and maybe tonight ask ourselves in our own heart if maybe we aren't making some of these same mistakes as well. So the first one we see here in verse number 16, we'll read through this again. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. So this man was greatly blessed by God. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And we have a picture of fruits up there, but this is once again, it's another type of wealth that this man had. And I wonder if maybe tonight in our heart of hearts, if we were being really honest, if we wouldn't say, man, I'd love to have that problem. And if in our heart of hearts, and certainly I'll be the first to confess, if in our heart of hearts that problem sounds appealing to us, I wonder if maybe we don't have an issue with covetousness. And what is covetousness? Covetousness is a out of control greed that just wants more. That's what covetousness is. It's just greed that wants more and more, and it's never satisfied, and it never will be satisfied. So he says, I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And then in verse number 18, and he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So what are some of the mistakes that this man made in this situation where his problem was he had too much wealth? And maybe that might be true of America. We have too much wealth. And maybe are we not making some of these same mistakes? The first one is this, in verse number 17, in planning for himself, he forgot about his neighbor. In planning for himself, he forgot about his neighbor. What does it say here in verse number 17? Or 16, it says, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, an abundance of wealth. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And so this man, when he saw this problem that he had so much wealth, he didn't know what to do with it. His instinct was, I need to figure out a way to save this for myself. And he never considered the thought that maybe God blessed him so he could be a blessing to others. His mistake was, in planning for himself, he forgot about his neighbor. It's interesting in this story, if you read down through verse number 17, we'll read through this, and let's see how many personal pronouns where he refers to himself that we read in these verses. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And just those couple of verses, I counted 11 personal pronouns. You know what this man's problem was? He was all about himself. He was all about his selfishness. and what he preferred and what he wanted to do. And he was all about himself all the time. And he never considered that maybe God blessed him because he needed to pass that blessing on to somebody else. You know, Jesus said all the law, all the Old Testament hang on these two laws: to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And this man had been blessed and he had so much, but he never considered, hey, maybe I should be a blessing to my neighbor. Maybe you've seen it as well on social media. I've seen a little image and a little saying going around that says, if you have too much food on your table, invite more people, don't build a wall. Right? And that needs to be our spirit, that whenever we have been blessed by God, and there's nothing wrong with wealth, there's nothing wrong with having being blessed by God and having things, but understand that God has blessed you with those things so you can bless others, so you can be a blessing to your neighbor, so you can love your neighbor as yourself. And if we get caught in this mindset like this man here, it's all about what I want to do and how I'm going to take my ease and how I'm going to prepare for myself, and we never consider our neighbors, we've made a huge mistake. And especially, I would say, at this time of year, that us as Christians, we should be more sensitive to our neighbors. This is an opportunity maybe that we wouldn't get any other time of the year that we can. I'm not sure about what goes on in your neighborhood, but in our neighborhood, when we moved in, we started taking some homemade snacks that my wife makes, and we start giving them to our neighbors. And we started doing that about 4 or 5 years ago, and my kids will go with me, and we'll go knock on the door, and we gave them. And over the years now, all the people in our cul-de-sac, now they come to our house now. Right, man, we kept sowing, and now we get to reap. They're bringing stuff to my house now. But my point is, there's an interaction that I get that a lot of the times of year I don't get to have. And so we have this time of year where we should be more sensitive about our neighbors and their needs and how we can be a blessing to them and how we can help them. And I think Brother Clark and his offerings is a good opportunity even tonight for us to search our hearts and ask, you know, can I be a blessing to someone else? God's blessed me, and can I bless someone else? And so we see this first problem, this first mistake was, in planning for himself, he forgot about his neighbor. The second mistake that I see here is in verse number 18. He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and I will build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. So the second mistake that we see here this man made was in counting his goods, he forgot about the giver. In counting all of his goods, all that he had been blessed with, he never considered the person that gave him those goods, the person that blessed him with those things. And it's very, once again, very easy for us to forget that the reason that I have a job is because God has given me a healthy body I can go out and work. And don't make the mistake to think that, well, I earned that money. I worked hard for that money. I helped make this company profitable. I generated a bunch of sales and I deserve some of that money. Could I remind you that without the mind that God gave you, without the body that God gave you, without living in America in 2021, none of that would be possible? And we shouldn't forget about the giver who blessed us with these things, that we now have the opportunity to take care of our families and take care of our neighbors and be a blessing to our community. You see, he was counting his goods and he thought about all how wonderful the goods were, but he never thought about how wonderful the giver of those goods was. And greed is not just always accumulating things. That's not the only way that it can be displayed in our lives. I've met some people that you know, they're so tight they squeak when they walk, man. I mean, they're just, you can't get a red cent from them. They're so tight with their money, and they don't live above their means. They don't display their wealth, but they just continue to save that money into some, you know, IRA or 401k, and they're putting all this money away, and you wouldn't know that they're a greedy person or a covetous person, but they live a life where all they care about is getting more money. And we shouldn't forget about the person that gives us the ability to gain that money and to remember him and to honor him and bless him. And in counting our goods, and maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea for us to maybe take some time throughout, maybe in the next several days, and think about all the material possessions that you have. Even the young people in this room, that maybe you don't have a house or a car, but you have a lot of clothes. You have a bed to sleep in. You have a pillow. You have toys. You have video games. You have TVs. You have computers. You have cell phones. You have tablets. I mean, just even a child in America has those things. And now think about a husband and wife and what God has possessed, all these material possessions. And when's the last time we said, God, thank you for my trash can? Thank you for a trash can that I can take things that are no longer of use to me, that are maybe messy, and get them out of my... What a blessing that we live in a country and a place where we have an entire supply chain of getting rid of my trash. And if you don't think that's a blessing, travel to other countries around the world, and you have to step over trash on every street to even just go to a grocery store or something. Just even simple things like that. Have we taken the time to remember the giver of those gifts? I have not done this, but as I've been thinking through this passage of scripture, I wondered what would the reaction be in my home if I told my family, "Hey, this year for Christmas, no gifts." I wonder what the reaction would be. So I'm the dad, I don't get anything. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not getting any gifts at Christmas time. And if I do get gifts, they spent my own money to buy me something. So I wouldn't be too hurt, but I guess what I'm saying is in my own home, in my own family, I wonder, am I raising my kids where they could separate Christmas from materialism? And if we were to say, "Hey kids, we're not going to do this every year, but this year we're not doing gifts. And this is the reason why." I wonder, would there be a revolt? Would stuff start getting thrown? Would kids pack their bags and get ready to run away? Or would they understand that what Jesus said in verse number 14, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things that he possesses. Did they know that's true? Have we modeled that? Or have they, through living in our home, watching mom and dad, do they see a mom and dad that care about possessions more than the things of God? So in counting his goods, he forgot the giver. The third mistake he made here in verse number 19, "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." The third mistake we see here is in providing for his body, he forgot about his soul. See, this man had what most people in the world want, most people that have ever lived want. He had financial security. He had blessings. He had all that he could need to the point that he could tell his boss to take this job and shove it. And this conversation comes up from time to time where I work. We have some people that play the lottery, and the question is always like, "Well, if you win the lottery, what are you going to do? Are you going to come to work?" And some people, you'd say, "No, you'd never see me again." And then some people like want to come to work just so they can tell their boss off, you know? They want to just be able to, you know, tell the boss, you know, take this. And this man had that opportunity. He didn't have to work for anybody. He didn't have to report to work at 7 a.m. on Monday morning. He could just live the life the way he wanted to live it. He provided everything for his body. This man had treasures. This man had treasures. He had all that he could hope, all that he could wish for, all that you could want. He had treasures, but not just treasures. He had leisure. He could take any vacation he wanted to take. He could go to any, wouldn't it be great to go to some sandy white beach in the middle of December and, you know, leave Missouri and go to some beautiful tropical place and be able to go anywhere you want to go and just have a wonderful time and take your ease and have leisure. This man had that. This man had pleasure. Any pleasure he could think of, any kind of entertainment he could want. I mean, this man had it all, and he provided all these things for his body, but he never considered about taking care of his soul. Jesus said here in verse number 21, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." This man was not making any investments in heaven. All his investments were here on earth. I've been in the delivery room when all three of my kids were born, and I can tell you for a fact, when you're born, you bring nothing into this world. Now, your mom and dad get a bill whenever you show up. That's pretty expensive. But you and me, we didn't bring anything into this world. And whenever we die, we're not taking anything with us either. And all this worry. And I would encourage you, read down through the end of this chapter, maybe a little later tonight. Jesus speaks a lot about worrying about things and don't worry about things. And we have all this anxiety and worry about, "Oh man, are we going to have enough money? Oh, am I going to be able to retire? Am I going to be able to help get my kids to college?" All these worries that we have about money. And I wonder if we have that same emphasis on our soul, on being rich towards God, on making eternal investments and not just earthly investments. And then the fourth mistake we see here is in verse number 20. "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" The fourth mistake this man made was, in counting on time, he forgot about eternity. We assume In the book of James, the book of James corrects us. We should not assume that tomorrow will be here for us. We fool ourselves, but we are such fragile creatures. I mean, I could be standing up here right now, and all it would take was one tiny little vein in my brain to pop, and I would drop dead. A brain aneurysm, it happens all the time. People have a brain aneurysm, and they just fall over dead. My heart could stop pumping at any moment, and that could happen to you too. We could not. It's very possible that we may not make it home tonight. We have a lot of faith driving down the roads the way people drive around here. Somebody could come over that middle line, and we may not make it home. And we think we have tomorrow. We think we have the day after that. We think, oh, we got plenty of time to get right with God. We got plenty of time to worry about the condition of my soul. I got plenty of time to prepare for eternity. But God came to this man and said, this night thy soul will be required of thee. You see, for all of us, one day's coming, our soul will be required to stand before God one day. Every single one. Nobody's going to be excluded from that. Me and you and everyone you've ever seen and everyone you've ever known, all of us are going to stand before God one day. And how many people have gone into eternity not right with God, not saved, because they thought, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it another day. I know I'm not right with God. I know I'm not saved. I know I need to get saved, but I just gotta have the sin one more time and then I'll get right. I'll do it that next Wednesday night. I promise next Wednesday night I'll get right. I'll get saved. And people put it off and they put it off and they put it off, and then one day they're standing before God and God says, it's time for you to answer for your soul. And this man thought he had all the time in the world. But he didn't remember eternity was going to call one day. So what's the answer to these mistakes that this man made? Well, Jesus gives us the answer a few verses down in this chapter, in verses number 27 and 28. And he kind of connects these two thoughts about, because it's not sinful for us. It's not sinful to have a retirement account. Don't misunderstand me. I have a 401k, all right? I wish there was more in there. But there's nothing wrong with that. And it's natural, because it's natural for us to worry. But Jesus connects this sin of covetousness with this sin of worry, and he gives us the answer. He says in verse number 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And whenever I read that verse, you know what I think about? I think about... Did you know there's more wilderness in America, in North America, than there is in Africa? Did you know that? There's more wilderness in North America than there is in Africa. And whenever I read this verse, I think about, like, the places that no man has ever set his eyes on. There are more places in North America that no man has ever looked at than there is even in Africa. And I think about some mountainside meadow filled with wonderful, beautiful flowers that, guess what? No man's ever going to see those. And God's taken care of them. And God's provided for them. And Jesus says that even Solomon in all his glory wasn't as beautiful as just a simple flower. And yet we get so worried about, how am I going to take care of this? How am I going to fix this car? How am I going to pay for this? Ah, and we get all worried about things. And he says here in verse number 28, if then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? And then this is the answer. O ye of little faith. This is the answer for all of us when it comes to materialism. We have to put our faith that Jesus Christ is what I really need, not another ... That Jesus is really what my heart's longing for. That emptiness, that desire to get more, to have more, that's not an accident. That's a programming from God. But the only way that problem gets solved is with Jesus Christ, not through things. So whenever we go to the store and we see the new bright shiny thing, and we feel the pull of all that marketing, all our entire life living, I don't know about you, but for 42 years being programmed to buy and be a consumer and get and get and get. In that moment, we're standing in the store and it's there, and we have the money or we have the credit to do it. to remind ourselves, Jesus is what satisfies, not this. That my faith is in Jesus, and that Jesus is what I really need. And this draw that I have, I need to direct it towards God, not towards things. And that's the answer for the mistakes. These four big mistakes is, whenever those times come, to remind ourselves, put in our mind, that Jesus is the answer to that longing in my soul. And no matter how many things, no matter how cool they are, how expensive they are, how nice they are, they will never satisfy. They'll never satisfy. And so tonight, maybe I would ask all of us to examine our hearts. Have we made these same mistakes? Have we, in planning for ourselves, forgot about our neighbors? Have we, in counting all the goods that we've been blessed with, forgot about the giver? In providing for our bodies, have we forgot about the needs of our soul? And in providing and counting on time, have we forgot about eternity? I ask everybody to bow their head and close their eyes.